Shabbos. So this year the rules are a little different. It's a nidche. The rules are more relaxed. Shabbos, basically, there is no restrictions whatsoever. You can do anything that you would do. I'm not aware there's any restriction on Shabbos just because it's 2 weeks. I do take that back. It's not supposed to be. This is a topic. Let's discuss. What really are the laws? What are the restrictions of the 3 weeks? What are you really not, in the Shulchan Aruch, are you really not supposed to do during the 2 weeks? To shave? Not really. I'm not aware that shaving is. It's more of a custom not to shave. I have to brush up on the halachas. I'm recalling from memory now. Shaving is not really a halacha until the 9 days. Okay, I'm talking now between Shavuos and Matan was until Rosh Chodesh Av. Until you get to Rosh Chodesh Av, there are very minor restrictions. There's only pretty much one halacha. And what is that? You're not allowed to do something where you have, which under normal circumstances, you would make a shehechion. Okay, so when do you make a shehechion? Well, it used to be back in the day, you buy a suit, right? You buy new clothing, you buy a house, you buy a car, you make a significant acquisition which gives you real joy. You make a shachiyana. That is pretty much the only thing you're not allowed to do during the time between Shavuos B'Tammuz and Rosh Chodesh Av.
You mentioned shaving. What
yes.
Haircut?
Same thing. I take that back. It's not the same. When it comes to the laws of Avelos, there is a difference between shaving and taking a haircut. Let's say a person after Shloshim, after a person, Rachman Lestani, he's in Avelos for 30 days, he's allowed to immediately, without any restrictions that I remember, to shave immediately, but he's not really allowed to take a haircut until someone says to him, I think you're getting your hair. He has to continue the mourning, continue up to even 3 months, it says. Up to 3 months. If no one says to you, go after 3 months, it's not because they don't want to tell you, it's because they don't like you. And they don't want to talk to you. But it's natural that after 3 months, a person would say to his friend, I think it's time that you should get a haircut. So until someone says to you, they go, Arimbo, you're not supposed to take a haircut out in Avelos, but taking a shave, to shave your beard, that you don't need anyone to say to you, go out and bow. If you shave every single day, after 30 days, you can shave. So you're right. You do see there's a difference between shaving and taking a haircut. And during the 3 weeks, and you're going to say that a person is very uncomfortable, or let's say he goes to work, he has a profession where he needs to shave. So are you going to say that once already he can shave, you can take a haircut? It could be that you are correct. Is that the laws of taking a haircut, which is not necessary, he should see to it that he takes the haircut before Shavuos B'Tammuz, but shaving, there's much more grounds to be lenient in regard to shaving during this time period than when you come to Rosh Chodesh Av. The 9 days is much, much more strict. The limitations of the 3 weeks, we call it 3 weeks, during the time period is doing an event for which you make a shechiyana. Okay, so we know. Now here's another question, and let's go expand upon that. Today, there are many things that we do not make a shechiyana on. Many people today, when they buy clothing, they don't make a shechiyana. And you'll ask them, why not? They'll say, because it doesn't give them joy. In fact, they have agmas nefesh, they had to spend the money. They had to spend the money to buy some new clothing, and Baruch Hashem, we live in an affluent society, relatively speaking, compared to what used to be years ago. And it's not a novelty for a person to buy a new suit, to buy a hat, to buy one thing or another. So to buy even a talis, a talis may be a little different, it's a Beis Shal Mitzvah. So many people, there are many poskim that say that the bracha of making shechiyanu, when you acquire a new item, a new possession, it demands a sincere degree of joy. Not shechiyanu is one of the most complicated sugyas in Shas, because you make shechiyanu on times when it does not appear there's anything, any relationship to joy. You can make a shechianu on just events, on timely events is enough sometimes to make a shechianu. Is it really connected to your heart? You must have joy? So it depends. There are many different types of shechianu. Shechianu, the words literally mean shechianu v'kimanu, you have given us life. And you've kept us alive. Shechianu v'kimanu, you've kept us in existence. And we have reached lazman hazeh. Does the bracha make any mention that there should be joy? It doesn't say anything about joy in the bracha. Yet, when it comes to acquisition of property, of assets, of clothing, of a house, of a car, or whatever these things are, Chazal have taught us that you have to have a degree of joy to make the bracha. And many, therefore, are afraid of making brachas and not so quick to make a bracha. They don't make brachas shechianu today when they acquire new things. So the question then is, for these people, if you're not making a shechianu, so what's then so terrible to buy a new suit during the Bein HaMetzarim? Why not? If you're anyway not making a shechianu, look, you're not allowed to go to the store and buy a fresh bagel. You can go to the store and buy a fresh bagel during the Bein HaMetzarim. You make a shechianu when you buy a fresh bagel, then make a shechianu. There are many things that you acquire on a daily basis that you don't make a shechianu. So if I don't make a shechianu on a new suit, so what? So let me go and buy a new suit during, there's a sale going on, let me go buy. So the answer is like this. You're right. You're anyway not going to make a shechianu, and you're presenting a good argument, but me'ikor hadin, according to the letter of the law, should you be making a shechianu on this item? Yes. It's because you can't bring yourself around, you can't wake up your mind, open up your mind to appreciate the gift that you have. That's your problem. That's your problem. That's not Chazal's problem. Chazal told you, when you buy a new suit, wake up. Hashem gave you a gift. He gave you money, he gave you health, he gave you the ability to acquire a new suit. Wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. Have joy. Appreciate what Hashem has given you and make a shechianu. You don't appreciate it because you have so much bracha in your life, or you're just not in a good mood, or this and that, and it became the standard in society not to make a shechianu. That's your problem. Your problem. It doesn't take away the halacha that since me'ikar hadin, a shechianu should be said upon the acquisition of these items, you don't buy these items during the Bein HaMetzarim, even though you're not going to make a shechianu. Your frame of mind is not going to change the halacha. It's only going to change the fact that you have to go to a psychologist. But it's not going to change the halacha. Oh, excellent. Now we go to level B. That's what it's going to get this year. So now we come to a whole very complicated topic of discussion. What about general Shabbos in general? Let's make believe, not like this. Let's make believe this year it's a more complicated because it's on the day itself. Shabbos is actually Shabbos Tam. But let's say in a regular year when the fast during the week, and you have a Shabbos. Okay, you have two Shabbosos sometimes. You have two Shabbosos that go through. Are you allowed to make a Shechianu on Shabbos? Does Shabbos suspend, is Shabbos suspend the laws of the Bein HaMetzarim to such a degree that you can make a Shechianu on Shabbos? So if you have a new, let's take a little simple case. You go to a Kiddush. Yeah, there are many different examples of this, and we'll try to give you some examples. But let's discuss, you go to a Kiddush, someone making a simcha. And at the simcha, they have a fruit, an exotic fruit you've never eaten your entire life. So you want to eat it. But if I'm going to eat it, I have to make a shechianu. So don't eat it. If for you it's so exotic and you would be required to make a shechianu, so don't eat it. It's now the Bein HaMetzarim. Or do we say Shabbos? Shabbos suspends the laws of the Bein HaMetzarim. And it's free reign. You can go and you can eat the fruit and you can make the shechianu. This is a machlokes ha'poskim. There's no clear answer to this question. If you look in all the sun, the sources, you're going to see. I don't remember the Mishnah of Paskins. I really don't remember. I have it. I learned it. I just forgot. And even here, I think it's not so. I'm not sure that it's clear. It's a machlokes ha'poskim. How the Shabbos change, suspend the laws between Shavuos v'Tammuz and the 9 days in regard to making a shachianu in this particular case when you come to a kiddush and there's a new fruit and you want to eat it, but if you're going to eat it, you have to make a shachianu. So maybe better don't eat that fruit. So you don't need to make the shachianu, because if you eat it, you would need to make the shachianu. And some say no. Shabbos, you can make eat the fruit and make the shachianu. And Avel is also not. Let's not talk about Avel. I don't know. Avel is different. Avel, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't prepare the Avel. It's a different halacha, different rules. Now let's just take a step back. What about clothing? I have a solution. Let's say I'm from the Makila. You'll definitely have major poskim that will, you can be makel. You want to eat the fruit, eat it. It gives you pleasure, eat it. Make a shachianu. Yesh al milismach. It's perfectly fine. Oh, if that's the case, so you know what? Let me buy a suit. And the first time I will wear the suit will be Shabbos. Perfect, right? I'm off from work. Get a week off in the summer. There's a sale. I'll go buy a suit. I'm not going to wear the suit until Shabbos. The first time will be Shabbos. And I'll make it. The only reason why I can't buy a suit is because I can't make a shachianu. So I won't wear the suit. When do you make a shachianu typically? When you wear the suit the first time. So I'll put the suit on for the first time, Shabbos. Friday afternoon is the same thing as Shabbos. So I'll wear Shabbos. So I'll make. So can you go so far? No. So here's another example of where you have to know what the real halacha is, and you have to know where we have become corrupt. When you buy a new suit, Chazal tell us, you make a shachianu. When do you make the shachianu according to the letter of the law? When you wear it for the first time? No, when you buy it. When you buy it. No, we don't do this today. Okay, we don't do this today. But then you have to always, like we said before, you buy a new suit today, my custom is not to make a shachianu. I have a messer for all my zayin. when my elta zayda, when he bought a Hugo Boss suit, Friedrich Adar, 300 years ago, when he bought that Hugo Boss suit, right? Hugo Boss suit, he bought it 300 years ago, he didn't make a shachianu. When was Hugo Boss born? Okay? I'm just joking. No one gets the joke here. Maybe you do, just not laughing. But the point is, if you're going to claim that you don't make a shachianu, we said it's your problem, because you're really supposed to. When are you supposed to make the shachianu on the acquisition of new garments, of new utensils? Not the first time you use it, when you acquire it. Why is it indeed so that we don't do it? I'll tell you the real answer. You know what the real answer is? I saw this once, it's a long time ago, we learned this, it's unbelievable, it shook me up, the real answer. The real answer is, years ago they made the shachianu when they purchased it, and then when they put it on for the first time, they did what it says in Shulchan Aruch, they made another bracha. Malbish Arumim. Okay, and it could very well be in addition to the Birchas HaShachar. In addition, they said in the morning, Malbish Arumim, and now, when they put on 5 o'clock in the afternoon the new suit for the very first time, they made a bracha, Malbish Arumim. So the truth is, you're really making two blessings when you buy a new suit. When you buy the suit, you make a shachianu, and when you wear it for the very first time, you make a bracha of Malbish Arumim. Today, for whatever reason, I do not know why, it is unacceptable to make a bracha Malbish Arumim when you put on the suit for the very first time. You don't do that. No one does it. Why not? I don't know. But because a bracha was meant to be made at that point in time, so what we've done is we've taken the bracha, the shachianu, that we were supposed to make when we acquired it, and we just moved it into a new slot of when we put it on for the very first time. And the reason why we've done that, there are other technical reasons, because many times when you buy the new suit, it's not yet ready to wear. You need tailoring. Okay, it has to be tailored, there are alterations, there are things that have to be done, it's not yet fit to be worn, so it's not yet even appropriate to make the shachianu. But this is the way it used to be. When you buy it, shachianu, when you wear it, malbish arumim. Today we do not make malbish arumim, so we shift the bracha of shachianu to when we put on for the very first time. Therefore, it's not going to help you, this idea. I'm from the people who, if I see a new fruit on the table, I go to a kiddush on Shabbos, a new fruit on the table, it's not going to hold me back. I'm gonna make a shachyanu. I'm gonna even make a shachyanu. So therefore, let me buy a new suit and I'll put it on. I'll wear it for the first time on Shabbos and I'll make the shachyanu on Shabbos because Shabbos suspends the laws of the bein hamitzarim. No. You were really supposed to make the shachyanu when you bought the suit. And we today, even though we don't make the shachyanu, period, or whenever you want to make the shachyanu, fine. But you're not supposed to do something during the Bein HaMitzarim that demands a Shechiyami. The buying of the suit is only going to be done during the week. It's not going to be done on Shabbos. It's not going to help you the first time you put it on is going to be Shabbos. Because the time when you're making the Shechiyami, the Shechiyami is really going back on the time of the acquisition. And since that's when you are chayv in the Shechiyanu, and you're not allowed to do something during the 3 weeks which demands a Shechiyanu, even though we don't do it the right way, that's our problem for not following the rules. But the acquisition is the problem.
Formerly, when they those people made Mahal B'Sharum, they bought a new hat that they say, oh, do you sell the Sephora?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
And how about you getting into our contract?
What?
To
purchase something?
Yeah. Like
business?
That you're allowed to.
A lease also. You make a thing, a lease, when you buy a lease a car. That also you can do during the 3 weeks. And also, there's another issue, which there are many heterim for this. Even things that you make a shechiyanu on, if you need them just for your daily living, I need a washing machine. Do you make a bracha on a washing? You certainly do. A person buys a washing machine, why not? You make a tayva better, but make a tayva hametiv. It's good for the whole family. You buy an appliance, you buy a refrigerator, you buy a koine kalin chadoshim, utensils. What's called a kli? An appliance. You make either a shechiyanu, or if it's for the whole family, make a tayva hametiv. The rules are the same. If you need these things for your daily living, suddenly the refrigerator breaks, and you need a refrigerator. So you could buy a new refrigerator for $1,000. So you have no choice. What about the shechiyanu? It's a big problem. Will the Torah Meitiv? Can you have to buy it because you need it. You must use it. What about making the shechiyanu? I don't know the answer. It could be that once the 9 days already passed, it's too late to make the shechiyanu. The shechiyanu has an expiration date. You can't just go and make the shechiyanu whenever you want. You have to make the shechiyanu immediately when you buy it or when you use it for the first time. Once already time passes, even 3 days, it's not so simple you can make the shechiyanu anymore. So if you buy a new appliance during the 9 days because you need to, it's not a matter of joy, and under normal circumstances you would make a shechiyanu, I don't know what the answer is. I don't think you make a shechiyanu. I think that this situation, you lose out. You lose out because you're not supposed to be making shechiyanus during the Bein HaMitzarim. The only exception when you do make a shechiyanu is by a simcha. What simcha? Pidyon HaBen. Any other simchas to make a shechiyanu? I think that's really it. A bris by those who make a shechiyanu. Who make a shechiyanu?
It seems
to
point to your words that making a shechiyanu on fruit, even a new fruit, if it really doesn't give you that joy, you would still be mechuyav to it. Am I right?
It's not so simple. I don't know the answer.
Is it like...
Some yes, some not.
I mean, people...
We use it on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, I understand. But yeah.
And we do it on Tu B'Shvat sometimes, Tu B'Shvat, yeah. And Rosh Hashanah. Right. Or you have a simcha, and you have a suffix, should I make a birthday party, a 70-year-old birthday party. Someone who's 70, do you make a shechiyanu upon reaching the age 70? Tzoruch in gadol ad ma'od. If you should make, there are indications both ways, yes or no. So what does everyone, people do? You buy a new suit, or you have a new fruit, and you make a shechiyanu on the new suit or on the fruit with the kavana that it should go for my 70th birthday party. 70th-year-old birthday party.
So that is appropriate.
I guess in those cases, because there are other issues. Look, why when you're not just making the shechiyanu Rosh Hashanah, the second day Rosh Hashanah on the fruit. You're making the shechiyanu on the day, on Yom Tov, to enhance it, so you have to take a new fruit. Would the new fruit by itself be enough? Not necessarily. But the combination of the new fruit with, it's a suffix, a second day Yom Tov, that already pushes you over the top. But let's say you go. Let's say today, right after the shiur is over, everyone runs to the food store on Avenue J, and you say, show me the most exotic food you got here in the store.
You're not always tasty, though. You're not always getting
exactly. So that's why. So do you make a shechianu? Not really. Not really. I don't think the average Pesach would advise you to make a shechianu on an ordinary day of the year. An ordinary day of the year, it's not likely a Pesach will tell you make a shechianu. They tell you to make a shechianu when you're anyway supposed to make a shechianu. Like on your birthday party, 70th birthday party. Or it's a second day of Rosh Hashanah. Or another event that really you should very likely be making a shechianu, and we're not. So it's enough that since it's a fenucha, a prechadosh, a shulchan aruch, a new fruit that you've never seen before, you're supposed to be a shechianu, so it's good enough. Why do we not do it on its own? Because we know deep down that when the shulchan aruch, when the Rabbi Yosef Kai wrote the halacha, he meant, provided, there's a disclaimer, provided you have joy. But it doesn't say that in shulchan aruch. It's nishtahi nishtaher. It doesn't say you have to have joy. But the tradition is that you should have joy. So do you have joy? Not really. So therefore, we have a tendency just to overlook the bracha. Better make less brachas than more brachas. But when there's another reason to make a shechianu, and since it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch you have to have joy, it just says a new peros, it's good enough. L'chatchila, you can make the shechianu. It's exactly correct. Oh, yeah. Saying something correct. On a Yerusha, when a person dies, so he says, Mitzad Echad, he says, Dayin or MS? No, it depends. He's a Yerush. It depends on the Yerushes. If he's a single person, then he makes a Shechianu. The only difference between a Toiv HaMeitim and Shechianu, if someone else will benefit. If you're the only one who receives benefit, is the Shechianu. If there's someone else, if a spouse, children, there's someone else that will receive benefit, then you make a Toiv HaMeitim. So you are correct. Me'ikar hadin, according to what it says in Shulchan Aruch, if a person hears the bad news that a parent died, he's supposed to make two blessings. Dayan ho'emes, on the bad news of death, and a shechianu or atoyva hametiv on the good news that you now have received a Yerusha. There's no living creature today that makes a shechianu or atoyva hametiv. No one does it. Go ask anyone. That's unheard of. It's unheard of. Oh, but it says in Shulchan Aruch to do. It says to do this in Shulchan Aruch. Well, it's not. No, no one does it.
Svardim and Yekis make a Shechianu and Chasana on a new talis.
Okay, right. Exactly. So there, why? Because really, it's an acquisition. A wife is the greatest acquisition in the world. It's priceless. Have a wife. What greater acquisition is there in life than this? Shechianu, the community of Vanazet. So why don't we make it? There are technical reasons why we don't make it. Okay, there are. Use your imagination. Use your imagination. But a new fruit is enough to push you over the top, or put on a new talis. A new talis, you can certainly make a shechianu on. A beggar, yes. Beggar talis is one thing that no one argues with.
What about shoes, shirt,
tzitzit? Shoes not leather. Anything leather, you don't take advantage of someone else's pain. So leather came about through the death of an animal. So you don't make a bracha. We once discussed it. That's not so simple. That some want to say that's totally right. I just told you it's totally wrong. But that's not with the Velt. In the Velt, out in the world, the rule is leather, you don't make a shechianu because tzar balei chai. Leather, no shechianus. Shoes, no shechianu. What about tefillin? They want to argue that you bring back some memories. Tefillin. So do we make a tefillin? It's a very big machlokes. What to do when you buy a new tefillin? A bar mitzvah boy. What about when you yourself, person buys a new pair of tefillin? You make a shechianu. So some want to argue it's leather because tefillin came from leather. They came through tzar bali chayim that overrides. You don't make a shechianu on a new pair of tefillin. And some taka say that. But I read it's what
the leather may be the sign. The main purpose of the animals. Food.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're taking advantage of the. You're still taking advantage. We're very happy that the animal's dead, so we can use its leather to have our tefillin. I once read an article, a Hebrew article, a very good article that says that's not correct. That it's true. This tsar over the animal. But now when it comes to tefillin, there's a whole different discussion when it comes to about making mishachet. I don't remember at all. Okay, but there is a very big debate what to do when you wear it. And then I think there are talking many places that say you should make a shekel, you know, when you buy a new pair of tefillin. Halacha l'maisa, what do people? I don't know, people do. You have to ask a shayla. What do? What is the best thing to do? What's your custom? If you have a custom, not a custom. Some will always say. So you know what you do is you buy a new suit, and you come dressed and that in the morning when you put on your new tefillin in a new suit. You make, then for sure you can make a shekel, you know. Even though you normally don't make a shekel, you know, on a new suit, and even though it's a whole shayla to make a shekel, you know, on a pair of tefillin. The combination is more than enough to put you over the top. That's halacha. It's called a sniff. A sniff as in Kleenex.
Can a Zayda make a shechiyon by this if he has a new peiri there?
By a Zayda? Yeah. I don't think we're hearing that.
There's a new peiri and a separate.
I don't think so. That, yeah, I've not heard of. It's not even a father. What is Zayda? A father. Talk about a father. Sarah, the Inuk, what?
B'nai Bonim,
my father. We've not seen this. We do know is Minig Ashkenaz, more or less, not everyone, Minig Gros to make a Shechiyonu, but Minig Ashkenaz not to make a Shechiyonu at a Bris Milah. Because of, Tosfos says this, Sarah, the Inuk, the child is in pain. You don't take advantage of someone else's pain. It's a wonderful thing to be Zeicha, to have this opportunity to do a Bris Milah. But there's someone here that's suffering it's the same thing. The suda is only a suda coming a shevach for the bris milah. The bris milah was an act that caused a living creature, tsar. Tosfos says this. Tsar the yanuka. Minug Ashkenaz is you don't make a shechianu by a bris milah. Period.
Shirts, ties.
No, shirts and ties definitely not. Because they're not significant. They're not significant enough. That you have to tell me the outer garment. What? No. Yes, that's also a factor. It's not. It's very common. I don't have a good answer. I don't have a clear answer. More often than not, it depends upon butler diet etzel koladam. Even though you may be a connoisseur on shirts and ties, and you spend for your tie $1,000. And the average guy spends on Amazon $15 on the tie, or even less. So, butler died to Eitzel Kalada. A tie is not an item that you make a shechiyonu on, even if it's a very expensive tie. And then there's another element of simcha. And how do these two things come? The average person, the reason why he doesn't make a bracha on a tie is because he has no simcha. It's not a big deal to buy a tie. You can buy a tie for $15. Big deal. So it's not called a simcha. But you didn't buy a tie for $15. You bought a tie for $80.
What about a hat?
Hat? You know how much? I know how much a new hat cost? Over $300. Okay. Yeah. A hat? A new hat cost $300.
You told us we could buy online for $20. I didn't look.
No, it wasn't $20. It was more than $20.
Whatever.
I don't remember. Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember what happened with that. I never saw that advertisement again. I don't know what happened. I wonder what happened to that.
My neighbor bought his son a bar mitzvah hat, and he showed me the bill was $320.
Okay, $320 right there, $320. Okay, highway robbery.
Does it get a shechiyonu?
It does. Yeah, I think it does. It does.
There's no cap on the price.
I believe it does. I believe it does require a shechiyonu to buy a new hat. I do believe so. It's not like. Okay, so this is the issue. Therefore, that's why it's not a solution to buy a suit during the 3 weeks and make it on Shabbos. Now, here, this year, it's much more complicated. A lot of these things are not, there is no answer. I'm telling you all these shaylos just to bring out the point, and there are different customs. Some, when it comes to these matters, that even halachas that relate to mourning, especially during the three weeks, I mean between Shiva, Asa, Betamos, and the 9 days. Once you get to the 9 days, that's already a world apart. That's already a world of halacha. That's what? Well, no, that is a machlekes. Even a Shabbos during the 9 days, can you make a shechiyonu? It's the same thing. There's a machlekes apoyskim. Can you make a shechiyonu on Shabbos in the middle of the 9 days? Do we have it this year? In the beginning, we have two Shabboses this year. Because Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, so we have two Shabbos. The second Shabbos is a different story, because the second Shabbos is mamish Tisha B'Av. Okay, it's just we don't fast on Tisha B'Av, so that's a whole sugya in and of itself. And the first Shabbos is a classic Shabbos during the 9 days. So that is the same achloikis, the same disagreement between the batteries. This is as good as we give the battery to this. So in the back, and when you all right, Lee, I'll turn off now. Shabbos during the 9 days is the same machlokes. The Shabbos suspend the laws of mourning of the 9 days entirely. Same exact dilemma when it comes to between Shavuos v'Tammuz and Rosh Chodesh. The Shabbos suspend the laws, the minhagim that we observe during this time, not to do things that require shachrenet. Now this year is different. Now this is something which is another big dilemma which I have here, very chashuv, called the Avnei Shayan. We use it all the time, the Sefer, and it's very, he brings out this point, he shows how it's a big machlokes ha'poskim, and it's not clear what the answer is. Does Shiva, and there are many, many nafkaminas, I'm going to try to give you some examples. Does Shiva also b'tamuz have a higher stringency in the laws of mourning than the remaining days until Rosh Chodesh Av? When we come to Rosh Chodesh Av, you're finished. You're now in a new world. You're in a new world of halacha. Rosh Chodesh Av is, that's it, Rosh Chodesh Av. Until we get to, from the 18th day of Tammuz, until we get to Rosh Chodesh Av, we're called in this period of time where we don't do things that would require us to make a Shehecheyanu, in commemoration that in between Shavuos v'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, our ancestors were being slaughtered when the walls of the Yerushalayim were breached. Okay, but what about Shavuos v'Tammuz itself? Does that have the same status as from day 18 until Rosh Chodesh? Or perhaps Shavuos v'Tammuz is like Tisha B'Av? It's like, I wouldn't say Tisha B'Av, but it's like the 9 days. It's the degree of restriction of Shavuos v'Tammuz is like one of the 9 days. It's not just a regular day. Let me give you a very simple example. Eating meat. Now you'll say, what are you talking about? It's a fast day. Who's eating meat? Yeah, that's right if you're fasting. But many people don't fast in Shavuos v'Tammuz for many good reasons. Okay, there's a whole population out there that's not fasting on Shavuos v'Tammuz because the doctor said, don't you dare. And don't be a smart aleck and think that you can fast, because maybe when you're fasting you'll feel fine, but it's going to catch up with you when the fast is over. Hatzolah's busiest day of the year is when? The day after Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a boring day for Hatzolah. Average. Even probably less, because no one's doing anything. Everyone's staying. No one's running around. No one's getting into trouble. When is the busiest day? The day after Yom Kippur. Why? Because many people do not listen to their doctor, and they're moiser nefesh to fast on Yom Kippur, and they feel fine, and Yom Kippur is over, and they call up their children, you see, I didn't listen to my doctor, I fasted on Yom Kippur, I feel fine. See, they were all wrong. And then the next day they call up their children, you know, can you come to the hospital to pick me up? I wasn't feeling well today, so we called out Saul, they took me to the hospital, and the doctor, they told me it's because, well, you didn't take your medicine, you didn't eat yesterday, and you took medicine, you dehydrated, and this and that. It catches up with you. So don't fool around. The person taking medication, you don't fool around, you do whatever they're supposed to do. You're not mechuyav to fast on Shavuos. The only time you have to fast, there's only one day a year you have to really talk to a rabbi. Serious conversation, that is Yom HaKippurim. They say that in Europe, the only difference between my mother told this to me. My mother told from her mother that the only difference between Tisha B'Av and the other fast days for women who are pregnant. I think we're talking pregnant women. All the other fast days, they did not even ask a shiloh. It wasn't even asked. They just ate. Pasha to eat. On Tisha B'Av, they felt guilty, so they asked the Rav the Shiloh. And before the Rav, before they even finished getting the words out of their mouth, the Rav said, Mutter. That was the only difference between Tisha B'Av and the other fast days. Yom Kippur, though, is a different story. Yom Kippur already, you have to know what to do.
There's no Dvarim Shabbat Sinai on Shabbos of Tachlis on Shabbos.
But here's the question. One thing at a time. Let's first discuss an ordinary, not this year. This year might be different. In fact, this year might be more lean than this year. But let's discuss an ordinary year when Shavasa B'Talmud is not on Shabbat. It's during the week. Let's say your doctor says you have to eat, but you don't have to eat meat. You don't have to have a cup of wine. You can eat spaghetti. You can eat whatever you like. You'll be perfectly fine. The doctor, I don't want you to eat meat. You shouldn't be eating meat. Eat other things. Are you allowed to eat on Shavasa B'Tamuz meat if you're not fasting and drink wine? What's the shailah? Why? What status? Now, to answer that question, let me ask you another question. Let's go to Asar B'Teves. Middle of the winter, Asar B'Teves, doctor says, don't you dare fast. No fasting for you. Okay, I'm not fasting. Are you allowed to eat meat? Absolutely yes. You can eat meat. Drink wine, you can drink. Once already you're not fasting, and there is the Mishnah Berura, has a discussion with another, is that you should be memayit. Don't get carried away. Okay, be mishtate from the tsar of Yisrael. Don't get carried away and go have lavish meals. If you have to eat, you should minimize what you eat. There's a whole topic of discussion. But the question is, can you eat meat? Absolutely. There's no issue whatsoever. Why? Because there's no prohibition to eat meat on Asar B'Teves, that time of the year. There's no prohibition to Tzom Gedalia or Tainis Esther for sure. If you're not fasting, there's no harm done in eating meat. Just don't get carried away and have a lavish meal. However, Shavasa B'Tamuz, many poiskim, I cannot cite you this moment, chapter and verse. If you want, I can show you the whole sermon over here later and tell you all the names of different players, all different people. There are poiskim who seem to indicate, or sources seem to indicate, that Shavasa B'Tamuz is one of the 9 days. Has the status of the 9 days. Because it's Bein HaMetzarim, Kol Reitfeha Hisiguha Bein HaMetzarim, between the straits, Shavasa B'Tamuz is like the 10th day of the 9 days. There are 9 days, Rosh Chodesh Av until the, it's the 10th day. It's not practical for us because anyway, we're not eating. But the nafka mina is, if you are going to eat, are you allowed to eat meat and wine? It appears the minhag ha'olam is to be mekel, and you can. That is what appears to be the accepted practice, that it's not considered to be one of the 9 days. But take that with a grain of salt, because some people hold that it is considered 9 days. And therefore it totally changes the restrictions of what the day is all about. Doing laundry. Okay, we obviously we're very medical. You never heard someone say you can't do laundry
on shower.
You never heard this. Because we're very medical. We basically say that it's no different than Asar B'Teves, it's no different than Tzom Gedalia. But we should be aware it's not universally accepted to be correct. It's what that's the custom, and that's what we do, that's the menu, but we have an appreciation that Shavasa B'Tamuz is the beginning, is the 10th day of the 9 days. It changes the dynamics. Now this year, let's go translate that into this year. This year, when is Shavasa B'Tamuz?
Shabbos.
So basically, it's bottle. We're not really fasting, bo bayom. So when are we observing the fast? Sunday. That appears l'chol adeus. You can eat meat. So a person that's not fasting on this year when it's Sunday, being that it's not the calendar date, the nidche, so there's nafkamina, even those that would normally be machmir on a regular year to say that Shavas V'Talmud is the 10th day of the 9 days, this year that it's a nidche, it's not the 10th day of the 9 days. And the doctor says you can eat meat, you can drink wine, you can without any restriction, any guilt, you can do your laundry, you can take a shower. There's no, the laws of the 9 days do not apply whatsoever when it is a nidre. Now, here is the catch 22. But what about Shabbos? This year it's Shabbos. So this year, what does exactly Shabbos do during the 9 days? Does Shabbos cancel it? Or does Shabbos just suspend some of the restrictions, but not all of the restrictions? So what are some of the restrictions? Fasting. Shabbos, you can fast, you can eat. Kesuda shloim b'shaita. You could have kesuda shloim b'shaita on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, kol shekein. You can have kesuda shloim b'shaita on a Shavuos v'Tammuz. Right, kol shekein. You shall have no problem. So that's right. But when on Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, are you allowed to do dvarim shebitzina? No, you're not allowed to. There are things that you're not allowed to do on during the 9 days. During the 9 days, let's say Tisha B'Av. What about our discussion making a Shechiyanu? So that already would appear to be, you've already crossed the dotted line, because Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, you're certainly not going to go make a Shechiyanu. Okay, even though during the 9 days there's a debate, a Shabbos during the 9 days, can you make a Shechiyanu? But you're not going to look to make a Shechiyanu on Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. You can have a Seuda Kesuda Shloim B'Shaita because that Shabbos Kodesh Tainig and Oinig Shabbos. But to make a Shechiyanu, are you a Shechiyanu? During the 9 days you don't make a Shechiyanu. You have a dilemma. What about Shabbos during the 9 days? Maybe yeah, maybe not. But Tisha B'Av Mamish.
Tisha B'Av is not a personal shechiyanu, it's a mitzvah.
Because that's the shechiyanu on the mitzvah. It's not a shechiyanu on the day. It's totally not related. Totally not related to anything personal. It's on the mitzvah. But when it comes to a personal shechiyanu, you wouldn't do that on Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. So now that becomes relative. It becomes relevant to this year, because if you want to take the tzad, like the poskim that say that Shavuos B'Tammuz is the 10th day of the 9 days, and this year it's on Shabbos, and even though Shabbos is going to lift all of the restrictions, it might very well be, nothing is definite because everything here is a lot of different. I just want to bring out the points, and I'm not telling any clear psak halacha, but it may very well be. That even though normally on a regular Shabbos that's in between Shavuos V'Tammuz and the 9 days, you would make a Shechiyanu on a new fruit. I will use that as an example of just to show the severity of the day, not this year. This year, because since this coming Shabbos is Shavuos V'Tammuz Shechal Yos Shabbos, it's Bo Bayom, and according to some opinions, it's really the 10th day of the 9 days, it's a serious day. There are no restrictions, just like there are no restrictions during the 9 days, but it's Shavuos B'Tammuz. And Shavuos B'Tammuz is not the same degree as the remaining days until the 9 days. Doesn't matter. You have a delicious piece of chazak in front of you. It's going to spoil. I don't eat it. It's waste. It's going to go in the garbage. Are you allowed to eat it? Of course not. But just because the food's going to spoil, your observance of halakha is more important. That's going to spoil. There's a bigger baltashkes on your neshama of it failing to observe what Chazal said than the cost and the value of this delicious fruit. Give it away. You give it away to a child. And give it to a person, even a guy.
The minig that they don't do anymore, you used to make chasen this Friday afternoon, all year round, and then at night make a shevras. Are you allowed to do it this year?
Excellent. You see, that's another very nafkamina, right? You see, another very nafkamina. This year,
So that all depends on the dilemma. He brings a very, I never heard this dilemma before. He shows this dilemma from early sources. Is Shavasa B'Tammuz the ninth, the tenth of the nine things? We have the 9 days, Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av. Well, what about Shavasa B'Tammuz? Well, it's not relevant. It's not relevant.
Doesn't Rav Moshe B'Shaila connect to whether the day before Shavasa B'Tammuz?
And it goes into the night. That's the night.
And then you can make the Sheva Brachas after the Shavasa.
Okay, you're getting into a new topic, which is.
Let's go back to your topic.
Going into Shabbos.
Like today,
yep.
This year, Tisha B'Av is Yom Shabbos, right?
This year,
it's a Nitzche.
Yeah.
So Tisha B'Av is on
Shabbos.
Shabbos B'Tammuz.
They're both on Shabbos.
Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, right?
No, the real Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos.
Right.
The observance is on Sunday.
So there's already 10 days.
No. It's 11 days. You can't. Who says you can have 11 days? Who said? That's a technical problem. That doesn't take away from anything. Just because the Sach HaKol, they're going to be 11 days, that doesn't make a difference. Chazal didn't count the days. It's whatever the Mitzvah is. Now, you're touching upon another important halacha. This it ties them into the general halacha. The night of Shavasa B'Tammuz, what is its stance? One thing is clear as day. In the time of the Nevi'im, let's take a few steps back. There are four fast days. Who sanctioned these fast days? The prophets, the Nevi'im. They sanctioned initially four fast days. When the fast days were observed originally, there was no difference between Tisha B'Av and Shavasa B'Tammuz, and Shavuot Tevis, and some Gedalia. The fast began at night, with sundown. It went the whole night and the whole next day. You were not allowed to do 5 things. Eat, drink, bathe, all the 5 things you're not allowed to go do. Shoes, no wearing shoes, even on Shavasa B'Tammuz. Today, all 4 fast days are bottled. They're bottled. They're no longer in force. So why are we fasting? We are observing a custom. A minute. Just like in the time of the Nevi'im, there was an obligation, Divrei Kabbalah, it was serious business. When the Navi tells you to do something, it's called Divrei Kabbalah. It's almost like a Deraisa. Maybe it's a Muhammad than a Deraisa. Lately, the only thing we have left, Hayom HaZeh, that's Divrei Kabbalah from the Nevi'im, is one thing, Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is not a Deraisa, it's not a Derabanan, it's in a category, a league to itself called Divrei Kabbalah. Hashanah, I don't think so. I think Hashanah is a minuk. Minuk, I have to see. Minuk is not the same as the Divrei Kabbalah. It's a minuk Nevi'im. It's not a Divrei Kabbalah. It's much stronger. It used to be the 4 fast days were a takana from the Nevi'im. Divrei Kabbalah. No more. It came to an end. Once they built the Bayis Sheni, it was over. The 4 tzomos are over. There is no obligation anymore in history. There is absolutely no obligation to observe them within a real time. However, after the Bayis Sheni, or even during the time of the Bayis Sheni, they still reflected upon what used to be, and they chazal the Rabbanan, mid Rabbanan, said, do it, not as a halacha, but as a zecher. Zecher l'chubba, whatever, however you want to phrase it, however you want to, terminology you want. L'may naskinina. What is the nafka mina that it's only a minuk? We don't do it at night. We don't observe. We don't have to fast at night. The fast begins in the morning, and there's no other restriction. You don't have to wear. You're allowed to wear shoes, and you're bathing. All of these things are not required. Okay, they're not required. Now, it may very well be that Shavasa B'Tammuz is like the 9 days. It's a different category. That's our discussion. But the night is not part of the fast day. So here is a very big dilemma. A person makes a wedding, Erev, in a regular year, an ordinary year. Make a wedding on the 16th day, and the wedding extends into the night. And now it's time to bench. The whole wedding was done, let's say, for argument's sake, by day. But the meal extends into the evening. Now it's the evening of Shavasa B'Tammuz. This music goes right. That's a minute. The minute is we don't listen to music. And by the way, I'll go to the music in a second. Now it's Nida. Now the problem, now you want to make the Sheva Brachos. Is it proper to recite the Sheva Brachos on Shavasa B'Tamos? On the day when the rules of Yerushalayim were breached, and it used to be years ago, they were actually fasting at this point in time. Is it proper today to go and recite the Sheva Brachos on the night of Shavasa B'Tamos? So the Halacha L'Maaseh will make it. We are very makel, but it's not so simple. This is another one of the very big dilemmas about what status we give the night. I was once in a Beis Avol very recently Beis Avol, and there was a Rosh Shapiro. Another Shapiro over here in the neighborhood, he's a very big person. And they were talking and learning, and there was the person, Rosh Shapiro, he was very machmir in these matters, but he did acknowledge that there is such an opinion, the Shach. He said something shocking. Totally shocking, this fellow, that a person during Yud Beis Chodesh, never heard such a shocking Chodesh before, Avelos, a leniency, during Yud Beis Chodesh, after Shloshim, until the year is over, a person is allowed to go to a wedding, to a simcha at night. The only Avelos you can't do is during the day. You cannot attend a day wedding, but you're allowed to attend a night wedding.
Who
says? I think, no, so they claim, I don't remember the details, but where does it come from? They were talking to him, and he said, where does it come from? There's a shach. The shach says on the yard site. Okay, there's also, we don't accept this. Also, it's not so accepted. On a yard site. Are you allowed to go to a wedding on a yard site?
No.
So, not so simple. So many people, so some will tell you, if you really look what it says, and I can't quote you chapter and verse, I'm just repeating over here from memory what they were saying, and the thing he said is a shach. Yeah, you can go at night. On a yard site, the ikur hakpada of observing avelos, or observing something on the yard site, is not the night. It's the day, the next day, it's the morning. Daylight hours. And thus, the person has yard site, he can go to a wedding outside of the yard site. He has a yard site. He go to the wedding. He'll say Kaddish or Davar Meir there.
And everybody will go nuts.
What?
Everybody will go nuts. What are you doing?
No, it's not so common. You go at night. This is what I believe it says in the Shach. Is this accepted? Not only says the Shach, we pass like. We don't accept this. Right? We a yard site, it's a yard site. There's no difference between the night and the day. Not so simple. The place can differentiate between the night and the day. The observance of the yard site are daylight hours, not at night. At night you say Kaddish. No, the Kaddish is nothing. The Kaddish is a modern minute to say Kaddish. Doesn't mean anything. You say Kaddish, it's the yard site, but the observance and the limitations, and it's a Yom HaDin for this neshama on the anniversary of this Petira, is by day. So listen to this. Someone has said that the whole Yud Beis Chodesh has the same status as the anniversary of the yard site. So since on the anniversary of the yard site, 50 years later, you only make Rav Dina required to observe the day and not the night. So the entire period of time, from 30 days until the end of the year, is no more chomer than that. So the chumris of not going to a sudas reus, going to a party and bring freilich with your friends at a sudas reus, is only by day, not at night. That I just told you is not acceptable. Okay, and Rabbi Shapiro, by the Beis Avol, he says he knows about the shita. I think he even elaborated, and he says, yeah, I know about these. A tremendous talmud chacham, very big person, very, very big person. And he says, this is not accepted, la halacha, don't even think about it. But why are we saying this over? To bring out the point that there is in halacha room to differentiate between the night and the day. And that is why halacha l'maaseh is very makel. We are indeed very makel when it comes to Shavas v'Tamos, and on a regular year, a person makes a simcha, make a simcha by day, and the simcha goes into the night, into Shavasa B'Talmas at night. The minig olam is to be makel, and you can make the Sheva Brachas.
What about the wedding itself?
Why not?
Going into this, why would it be more of a shaila?
The brachas, to make the brachas is more of a problem than anything else.
No, but
the celebration?
You make the simcha going into the 17th by night.
Yes.
And you can do everything. So why would it be
what are you doing? What are you doing already? What are you doing?
No,
you're dancing. You're dancing, playing music. So what's the problem with playing music? Let's talk about music now. Let's talk about music. Here's a very simple question. Very simple question. Okay, this is like a catch 20. This is like something you can really get someone where they're holding in halacha when you ask them this question. The minhag ha'olam is not to listen to music. And this is a very good question to catch people by. Not nice, but it really shows what you're holding in halacha. This is the difference between a person who learns halacha and does not learn halacha. The minhag ha'olam is, we all know, you do not listen to music, live music for sure, music during the 3 weeks. Why not? It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to listen when Shabbos the B'tamuz. It says in Shulchan Aruch, no Shachianus. It doesn't say one word in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to listen to music during the 3 weeks. Not even the 9 days. It doesn't even say during the 9 days that you're not allowed to listen to music. So why not listen to music? Who's stopping you? What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Show me. Show me where it says in Shulchan Aruch I can't go listen to music during the 9 days. During the 3 weeks. So what's the answer? The answer is, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to listen to music the whole year. Zecher lemikdash. The whole year.
Only the point, right?
What?
I thought it was only the point.
By a base, vishtois, where they serve wine. Well, it's not so simple. I don't remember all the details. But basically, the prohibition of listening to music is an entire year, every day of the year. What has happened? We're weak. We're weak people. We need. We have needs for some reason. How are we able to violate the law of Shulchan Aruch? You're allowed to be. The Morris Perish is allowed to be. You know, music. Now that you listen to live music, maybe say they serve wine, could be. So why are we so lean? Even some say in Shulchan Aruch, even without wine. Let's assume it says you're not allowed to listen to music, period. So we're very lean, for whatever reason, we're very lean. When we do not listen to music during the 3 weeks, it's we only accept it to listen to what it says in Shulchan Aruch, not to listen to music the whole year, only during this time. So it's not a new halacha. It's nothing new to Shulchan Aruch. We ask the question, what about playing music? It's not Shabbos v'Tammuz, they're playing music. Well, why are they playing music on the sitting day of Tammuz? It's also a violation of Shulchan Aruch. The answer is, we're not machmir. So the same way you're not machmir, so why should you be machmir during the 3 weeks? During the 3 weeks we're machmir. That's where we've accepted the rule. But then, because the entire thing is just, it's a whole year halacha, and we, it's not related specifically to any particular thing, that's why it's very easy to be lenient and to say that once you've started the wedding on the 16th day and there's music, the music can continue into the night. Because there's no cutoff point. The cutoff point is never to listen to music. It's just that we've said we're not going to be makabel during this time. But because this is an event that began on the 16th day and it continues into the night, and there's no halach in Shulchan Aruch, this day, that day, there's no law of days when it comes to music. It's a whole year halacha. If you were making and listening to music on the 16th day, it's not so unreasonable to say that the wedding is just a continuation of what happened on day 6, and you could continue to listen to music. But to make the Sheva Brachos, that's a different league.
I think Rav Moshe Shiloh.
He's Mako, Rav Moshe's Mako.
Can you make a wedding on the night?
To first get married on the night. So that is a very big dilemma. That's part of the dilemma. I wanted to bring out to you. Look at this yard site. The person has yard site for a relative. Is he allowed to go to a simcha on the night of the yard site? By extension, Yudbeis Chodesh, some say that the night is not part of the Avelus. The night of the Avelus is only established for the daytime hours, not the nighttime hours. So therefore, when it comes to Shavuos v'Tammuz, Well, anyway, that whole only reason why we're fasting is only a minhag of what they did in time immemorial. It's not an ikar halacha, so maybe that never ever included any restriction whatsoever until alois hashachar and the fast begins. The nighttime is totally mutter. There is no fast whatsoever. The fast really first begins when you go to sleep. Okay, the fast truly begins. When does the fast begin? The fast begins when you go to sleep. Going to sleep is the beginning of the next day. When you say Birchas Hamapil, that is the beginning of the next day. And if you wake up in the middle of the night, you're not allowed to eat. The only time you can eat, if you wake up in the middle of the night, is to make a ketanai. You have to make a statement that I'm going to sleep. I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to getting up early. I do not want my going to sleep to constitute the beginning of the fast. I still want to be able to eat before Alois HaShach. Otherwise, once you go to sleep, the fast begins going to sleep. But as long as you have not gone to sleep, it's not Yitzhavos V'tamos. V'harai, when it comes to your personal avelus, Mikar HaDin, the Shach says, you can go to a wedding at night. By extension, someone says the whole year round, you can go to a simcha at night. So Yitzhavos V'tamos, which is also just an observance of a minute that was in previous generations, it's not a real fast day. It's enough that we start to fast in the morning, but at night is totally nothing. Some say no. Some say that since in ancient times, the Shavuos V'tamos didn't indeed begin at night, and they fasted at night, and they did not wear shoes at night, and they had all the five of them at night. So in Chazal, we're misakin that we should observe the minhag of Shavuos V'tamos at night.
Wait,
it comes.
Begin at night?
What?
In ancient times, it began at night?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Time of the Nevi'im with Shkia. In the times of the Nevi'im, they observe Shavuos V'tamos exactly the way we observe Shavuot. All five Inuyim, and with sunset. Exactly.
All the
tzaymas. Four tzaymas. Shavuos V'tamos, Tisha B'Av, Ashar B'Teves, and Tzom Gedalia. Not Tainuset. Tainuset is a new thing.
So why
Tzom Gedalia? Why Tzom Gedalia? Tzom Gedalia was part of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im, they established Tzom Gedalia, the Dal Tzaymas. Tzom HaShavi. Tzom HaRevi. Tzom HaChamishi. Tzom HaShavi. And Tzom HaSiri. What? Not as a Shiloh. When was he killed? When was Gedalia killed? The first day Rosh Hashanah? The second day Rosh Hashanah? Or the third day Rosh Hashanah? It's not so simple. It's not, no, there's no answer to that question. Whatever the case is.
Today's the yard side of Arachayim. But he really died yesterday.
Why?
Today is the yard side of the Yom HaKvura.
No, we don't do that. Only the first year. The only time you observe the yard side.
The world has accepted today is the yard side. And he really died on Yudal.
So what's the shot?
I don't know.
Look at the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar, there's a whole debate.
The whole accepting of a yard side is to be the Zaka the Nifter, right?
So you have to read the truth is they
so
all say 3 days.
So if you go to a wedding and you're answering brachas and you're doing your chesed, that you're not allowed to do that?
No, you're not allowed to do that. No, that's right, you're not. You're not allowed to make brachas, just like you're not allowed to make a shechiyana. You're not allowed to make, it's part of the shechiyana brachas.
Because you don't have
just
to
just like you're not, Chazal will misakin in Shulchan Aruch, that during the time between Shavuos V'tamos and the 9 days, you're not allowed to make brachas, extra special brachas that are not, do not have to be done at that time, that are besimcha. And those include shechiyanu, it includes A toiv ameitiv. Now, what about shev brachas we do make when you get married before? If a person gets married before Shavuos V'tamos, you can make the shev brachas.
Spardu.
You can make the shev brachas after Shabbat on Shavuos V'tamos itself. That's really pushing it. So, what about the night? But the night is not day itself. And what about that at Shabbos? So mitzad echad. So look at this dilemma. Mitzad echad, Shabbos suspends everything. But mitzad sheni, this year, it's worse. Because this year is Shavuos V'tamos, it's bo bayom. It's the real bo bayom this year. And if you learn like the opinions that say that Shavuos V'tamos is the 10th of the 9 day and the 9 days, it's more severe when it on Shabbos. If it would be regular Shabbos during this time period, then you can be makel. Then you could say Shabbos suspends. And especially since the night, anyway, it's not so clear that it should be chomer. All right, let me leave you with the Dra Gadol.
So you're leaving him with a Tzarachin?
Yes. Everything we love today is a Tzarachin, because according to at least according to every Adav Nishayim, every single thing that I showed you, we learned today, he shows that there's no Pesach Halacha, and there's a matter of Minhag and what to follow. You want to be Machmer, Machmer, we make it, we make it. No one can tell you, boo. There's a Tzad there's a svara and there's backup to each way, each dilemma. Let me just move one quick, very short Devar Agada. And that is the order of the Bein HaMitzarim. What is the last thing that happened? We always look at the relationship between Shavasa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av to be, it starts Shavasa B'Tammuz, and it ends 21 days later on Tisha B'Av. 21 days. And that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is explicit what it says in the Gemara, and I'm not making up new things now. Okay, the straits are Shavasa B'Tammuz where it begins. The walls were breached. There was a war. There was blood, and Tisha B'Av, the Mikdash was destroyed. But there's another way to look at it, and that is the Bein HaMitzarim. This is not what it says in the Gemara, but this is just the Machshava. The Bein HaMitzarim is the other way around. It starts with Tisha B'Av, and it goes all the way around the year until Shavasa B'Tammuz. The time between Shavasa B'Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av is free. It's a shas hakosher. It's a time of relief. What do I mean by that? What's the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. What's the real Beis HaMikdash? The real Beis HaMikdash is what's within us. What's the pasuk saying in Truma? The pasuk says V'shochanti b'soichem. Build me a mikdash. The asuli mikdash v'shochanti b'soichem. The first korban happens inside of us. Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash within us, was destroyed. Everything else is just a shell. It's just a shell. And just a matter of time until, you know, if you have a tree and you cut off its roots, it's just a matter of time until the tree dries up and collapses. Tisha B'Av is when the lifeblood inside of us was cut off. But we're still walking around. We're like the tail of a lizard. You chop off the head, the tail of the lizard still keeps to maneuver, to move around. Tisha B'Av was when our life was cut off. It just took a whole year to trickle down until the walls collapsed, until the physical edifice of Yerushalayim came to an end. So Shavasa B'Tammuz, in one respect, is the end. It's the end of the tragedy. The bias in our hearts was destroyed. Memela. A whole year went by, this happened, that happened, that happened, that happened, and now, finally, it's over, they're coming for us. The walls have been breached, it's all over. Shavasa B'Tammuz is the end of the cycle, okay? You wake up on the 18th day of Tammuz. It's a new world. Let's go back, let's reset the clock. We have a Beis HaMikdash. The asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. Don't you have now 20 days from the time that you have that Beis HaMikdash inside of you until Tisha B'Av? Don't let that mikdash inside of you be destroyed. The only time that we really work, think about it, the only time that we really work on Chorban is the Bein HaMitzarim, is between Shavasa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. So even though technically the Bein HaMitzarim is between Shavasa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, you're right, but theoretically, practically, the only time that's relevant for us is to work on it not being destroyed is of the 18th day of Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. On the 18th day of Tammuz, we have to make believe we have that spark that's ignited within us. And we have to pray and hope that it should not be destroyed. It should remain ignited. It should remain, the mikdash should remain. And if we come to Tisha B'Av and we don't work hard enough, then what we're just doing is we're commemorating that mikdash has been destroyed. And now it's going to be a long, painful process to watch everything throughout the rest of the year collapse, which will conclude with, you're in the city, and here they are, they're coming for us, the walls collapse, they're coming to get us. Why do we look at the Bein HaMetzarim going between Shavuos and Tammuz and Tisha B'Av? Look at the Bein HaMetzarim between Tisha B'Av and Shavuos and Tammuz. And what is the advantage of doing it that way? The advantage is, now is the only time we have an opportunity to save what we have. We're in a desperate matzav now. Like, it looks like the Torah Meir told me this joke. I think he told me is that some people, they don't learn nittel. You're not allowed to learn nittel. How can you learn December 25th? Learn nittel? How can you learn December 25th? It's a zechus for Yeshua notary. So you don't learn December 25th. The Yeshua Imrim, because they changed the calendar, January 6th. Make the calculation so you don't learn January 6th. The Yesh Machmirim, they don't learn between, right, they don't learn between January 25th. They don't want to give a Sechus to Yeshu between January 25th and between December 25th and January 6th. But then they are the Machmirim, the Kanoim, who are Machmir, they don't go from January 6th to December 25th. Okay, that's a joke. But when it comes to the Bein HaMetzarim, it's no joke. What is the Bein HaMetzarim? The Bein HaMetzarim is Farish. Shavuos v'Tammuz Tisha B'Av. So basically it's hopeless. We're sitting ducks. We're just sitting ducks. Shavuos v'Tammuz, the walls are breached. No, we're just sitting ducks. Let it come on. No, Maya just close the Gemara and go to sleep because we're not going to wake up anyway in a couple of days. It's all over. That's not a good idea. Just the opposite. It says in the pasuk that these call right for hisigua bein hametzarim. All of our enemies overtook are between the straits. What are the straits? There are 2 days. Who told you the 2 days go between Shavuos v'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av? It's the other way around. It's from Tisha B'Av until Shavuos v'Tammuz. When they destroyed v'shochanti b'soicham, that sanctity, then we're tack a sitting ducks the whole year until we get to Shavuos v'Tammuz. So what does that mean for us? Now is the time, it's over. So now that it's over, let's start again. On the 18th day of Tammuz, we start, chai, v'hachai, yitei ne'liboi. Now is the time to wake up and smell the coffee. Do something about it, that in 20 days from now, there should not be a korban. And then we won't have to have the Bein HaMetzarim to go from Tisha B'Av all the way around until the next year, Shavuos v'Tammuz.
Also, the Rabbi T. and Yadler, and